Blessed be God, be the God of, and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Brother Robert was trying to challenge our Sunday school teachers. Man, let's have some life. Every week, let's come with some life. Let's be hot, not cold. Amen. Unto a lively hope. And here's the reason we got a lively hope. Because our Savior's risen. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. I'm glad he's alive. Amen. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God. I'm not kept by myself. I'm kept by the power of God. I'm not holding on to him. He's holding on to me. Through faith unto salvation ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice through now for a season, if need be, your in heaviness, though manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And Brother Carl, I don't care what people say, Jesus is going to come.
Amen.
Whom having not seen, ye love. I've never seen him. Have you? I've seen him through the pages of the Word of God, but I know the one idiot out there in California said he saw 500-foot Jesus one time, but he ate too many pickles and peanut butter sandwich before he went to bed that night. Amen. Having not seen, ye love him, in whom you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy what? Unspeakable and full of glory. This year we'll be studying the doctrine of glorification on Romans on Tuesday night. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I hope that you'll trust Christ today, because you need your souls to be saved, to have this joy unspeakable. Heavenly Father, I just pray with all my heart that I could be a blessing to everyone here. Lord, come down, put your hand on me. Please, help me to do well for you, that I can be a blessing to the people. Lord, may your presence be known now. Please, Father, anoint the service for the glory of God. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Note that verse 8 again. Yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable. That's the title, John, Brother Danny. Joy unspeakable. You know, did you ever think about, I thought about that, joy unspeakable. Did you ever think about that? Joy unspeakable? Say that with me. Joy unspeakable. Did you ever think about that? What is joy unspeakable? Think about it. Joy unspeakable. Did you ever think about joy so wonderful? Joy so overwhelming? Joy so heart-moving? Joy that you couldn't describe. So great a joy, D, that you can't describe it with mortal words. Can anyone say amen? Listen, joy so superb, joy so splendid, joy so spectacular that you could not even convey a small portion to how great it is to someone. Joy so remarkable, joy so wonderful, so great. All you could do is stand there speechless. Joy unspeakable, yet you cannot utter a word. Are you with me? But you're taken up in complete, utter joy. I thought about this joy unspeakable. Think with me. Think about this joy and some of the joys of the world. I thought about some of the most joys that you could relate to real easily. I thought about the joy of giving birth to a baby. There's joy. You see that baby come out? Oh, I know you're calling him a brat a few weeks. Come here, you little brat. Yeah, 4 or 3 years later, but when that baby first goes, look how pretty. Oh, boy. Even boys are pretty than they say. Are you still with me? Hello. Oh, we just love that little, we call, He's a little package of joy, bundle of joy. Are you with me? I thought about Abraham and Sarah that in the book of Genesis. They waited 25 years. God promised them a promised child that would carry on the lineage. And this, of course, through that would be the seed of Christ. And he promised them, and they waited for 25 years. Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 90. Can you imagine when Sarah at 90 years old delivered that baby and they brought that baby out to Abraham and they came in and said, there's your son. Can you imagine how much joy that was in their heart? How many can think with me? A lady 90 and a man 100 years old. Here they got a little, who's going to change the diapers? Amen. Get the maid. 100 years old having a baby. Can you imagine the joy that filled their hearts? Stay with me. By the way, before they got that little package of joy, you study Genesis 16, Sarah and Abraham tried to help God out. She said, I'm not having a child. They waited 10 years and I guess God's not going to do it. Let me say something to you. When God makes a promise, I don't care what he promises. When God makes a promise, it will be fulfilled. You can believe the promises of God. This preacher can fail you. Man can fail you, but God will never fail you. The promises of God are sure. And a lot of times we got promises from God for different things in our life. And we'll say, well, God must not going to do it. And so we try to help God out. Can I tell you something? God don't need no help. He is able, the Bible says. Our God is able. Even if you're 100 years old and 90, he's still able to have a baby through you. And Abraham and Sarah found that out, didn't they? But they had the baby Ishmael. She gave her the Hagar, the Egyptian, and they had the baby Ishmael through them, and they thought they're helping God out. And, of course, now you have those Arabic nations, all because they tried to help God out. And actually what they did, they put a real hurt on them. Because instead of helping, they were hindering, weren't they? Oh, they became great nations. Just like Isaac had, the 12 nations came out of his bloodline. 12 princesses came out of Ishmael too. But I'll tell you right now, it wasn't what God meant to be. Are you still with me? Now notice, and then they got this, after 25 years, they have this baby. Look with me. Look at Genesis chapter 21. Oh, can you imagine the joy bells that rang? Joy bells ring when you're married. The bells of joy ring when you're married, the day you get married. And the sad part is, after a few days, they quit ringing. Lizzie's been ringing Eddie's bell, but it's not the kind he likes. Poor brother Eddie. Are you still with me? Notice, in Genesis 21, verse 1 and 2. The Lord visited Sarah as he said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. We got when preacher's an older man. When preacher was a kid, Levi, they said this, you can take it to the bank. You got my word on it, you can take it to the bank. That meant it was a surety. That means it would happen. You didn't have a lot of lawyers back then. People would shake their hand and say, you got my word on it. Remember them days, bud? You can't do it no more. But in those days, if a man gave you his word, he stuck to it. We had a yard sale there Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and David Richard sold a sound system or something to some kid. And, or some speakers or something. And it was $25 and the kid gave him $10 down. Said, I'm going back and get the rest of the money. Well, David took the $10. The kid didn't come back for 3 or 4 hours. David didn't think the kid was going to come back. Another guy said, hey, I'll buy that. And David said, sure, give it here. I said, no, you can't do that, Dave. He said, I'll just give the kid his $10 back. I said, no. You gave that kid your word. He put a deposit down. I said, my word's worth more than money. Boy, he said, there was an older man, he says, boy, you better listen to your dad. He's old school. And boy, David got upset. He said, Dad, that guy. I said, I don't care. I don't care if he'd give you more money for it. You gave your word. Well, man can break our words. By the way, the kid did come back and within an hour after he almost sold it, this kid that put the deposit down, he came back. Actually, when you put it, that's called an earnest. The scripture teaches in Ephesians, Brother Terry, that that when we got saved, it says that God put his earnest in us. That's the Holy Spirit. God put a down deposit on us. And he said, Andy, I'm saving you. I'm going to come, kind of like you girls, when you buy a dress, you see these dresses. Oh, my lands, it's on sale. I'll never get another one like this. And you see it on Monday, but you don't get your paycheck till Friday. You say, oh, Mr. Merchant, I'll pay you. I'll put down $5 down payment layaway. Hello for layaway? I promise I'll get a check Friday, and I'll come back, and I'll pay, redeem it all. Here's to let you know I'm serious about it. I'm putting $5 down, and I'll be back Friday to get the dress. I'll pick it up. Well, God said, I have to go, but I'll not leave you comfort. I'll send the comforter. And when you get saved, he puts a down payment in you. He puts the Holy Spirit in you. But he said, don't worry. I'm coming back. I'm coming back to redeem my merchandise. Amen. Amen. Can anyone say amen? Amen? Well, anyways, I just felt in my heart, no matter if the kid came back or not, I tried to teach my son a truth there. You gotta keep your word. Well, you don't have to, man can fail. But when God says his word, Brother Levi, you can take it to the bank. I don't care what happens. When God says it, it's settled. One man said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. No. God said it, it don't matter who believes it, it's still settled. Amen? And so, he says to him, Sarah conceived and bare Abraham, verse 2, a son in his old age, he was 100, at the set time. See, God's got certain times in our life that he's going to do certain things. Don't get ahead of God. Don't try to run ahead of God. God's got a set time for you. He's got some certain things that are going to come at different times in your life, so just wait on it. They would have done a lot better if they'd have waited, which God had spoken to him. And look at verse 3. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, from whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. I'm in Genesis 21, 3. Genesis 21, 3. You know what the word Isaac means? I took a study on this. Isaac means laughing. You know why they named him? It wasn't God that named him. They named him. They named him Isaac, laughing, because they laughed at the promises of God. Stay with me. Look at Genesis 17:17. 17:17. You're right there. Abraham fell upon his face, and what did he do? He laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that's 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that's 90 years old, bear? Are you with me? Let me see that. Look also at Genesis 18, verse 12. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, am I waxed old, so I have pleasure, my Lord, being yet old also? And look at verse 4. And then the Lord said unto Abraham, verse 13, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I do of a, I have a surety bear a child, which am old? Is there, verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer is, Miss Mildred, no! Nothing's too hard for the Lord. I can do all things through Christ. Hello? Nothing is, see, Christians, look up here. We've got a great God. We've got a great God. Most Christians go through life believing they have a little tiny God that's limited. I'm going to tell you, we have a limitless God. Nothing, He's able to do anything and everything. He's God. Can anyone say amen? Look at 21:6 of Genesis. Sarah said, God had made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. No wonder you don't hear. No wonder Isaac was never, he was always kind of in the background. You ever know? Jacob's the one that stands out. But Isaac, he's kind of, his life is kind of quiet when you study his life. Oh, everyone's laughing. He's a child of that old couple. Hello? Are you with me? His mama's already 90 years old. She's had her Buckeye card for 35 years. Abraham's been drawing Medicaid, America, since the creation. How many are still with me? But can you imagine that joy? The joy that they saw God's promise come to, can you imagine that joy? When that baby came out and they held that baby in their arms, can you imagine that promised child, the promise of God, the joy that it brought them? But that's still not joy unspeakable. As you read chapter 22, He puts a challenge and a trial before Abraham and says, I want you to offer up that only begotten, that son you waited 25 years for, the one that you tried to help me out, but I finally brought him to you. I want you to offer him up. And the Bible says there in Genesis 22, right before he goes to offer him up, God stopped him. And God told him, Abraham, don't kill the only begotten son. Look at 22:10. Abraham stretched forth his hand. Are you in Genesis 22:10 with me? Took the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, said, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, here am I. You know what? That's the trouble with us. We lose out on a lot of joy and joy unspeakable because we don't listen. How many are still with me? Well, I never heard God call. Were you listening to him? I think a lot of times he calls and we're so caught up in the world. We're so busy with all our cares of the world that we don't hear him. If he wouldn't have been listening, that knife would have plunged down. I kind of think he was waiting to hear that call from God. Bible says when you study Hebrews that Abraham knew that God, even if he killed him, he knew that God was going to raise him. Of course, Isaac was a type of Christ, the only begotten son, and that one would be sacrificed, and be risen, which Jesus, the Son of God, did. Amen? And so, notice in verse 11 there, 22, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, here am I. He said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket. See, God provided a sacrifice, didn't he? You know, and look what he did in verse 14. Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. The word Jehovah Jireh means the Lord sees and the Lord provides. Look up here. We're living in trying days. If you really want to have joy in these days, You better let the Lord be your Jehovah Jireh. You better listen to Him, and you better be attentive to Him, and let Him be the provider. The Bible says Jehovah Jireh means He sees and He will provide. You know, sometimes we say, oh, we have no hope. I'm going to tell you, we've got all the hope of the world because we've got Jehovah Jireh. We've got the provider for us. Amen? The Lord. And so we see, but what I wanted you to get was this. Here he has this joy when the baby's born. Now he's ready to have to kill him. Can you imagine the relief and the joy of not having to lose a son that he waited 25 years for? How many believe they might have joy? I think that had been joy overwhelming, but it wasn't joy unspeakable. That's still not the joy unspeakable. In 1 Samuel, don't turn to, I'm just going to quote these. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 20, there was joy came from answered prayer. Remember when Hannah, she was without child and she begged God, said, oh God, give me a child. If you give me a child, God, I'll give him back to you. And he did. He gave her the prophet Samuel. Amen. And you know what? Can you imagine the joy? Can you imagine the joy that Hannah had when God gave her that promised child? Can you imagine when she held Samuel in her arms, the joy that she had? How many can kind of visualize that? But that still wasn't joy unspeakable. I thought about King Hezekiah, 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. King Hezekiah came on them the message, get ready to die. Prepare to die. And King Hezekiah's heart was so saddened, and the Bible says he cried unto the Lord. He wept unto God and said, oh God, make me well and let me live longer. The scripture says there in 2 Kings 20, right around verse 4, he said, the Lord has seen thy tears and heard thy prayer. And God said, he's going to give him 15 more years. I'm going to raise you up, heal you, and I'll let you live. 15 more years, Hezekiah. Can you imagine a man that was on his deathbed? We know a man right now that we don't think is going to live the next few days. He'll be gone. Can you imagine if God came down, Phyllis, and gave that dear man an extra 15 years? I tell you, I think there'd be joy in that family. I think that dear brother would be happy. Amen? Can you imagine that joy of extended life? That's joy. And by the way, it's answered to prayer too. Oh, what's the use of praying, preacher? God never hears. Oh. What's the sense of praying, preacher? God never answers. Oh. Yes, he does. You know what the trouble is? We lack faith to pray. And we have not because we... Yes. And so, oh my, I see the joy there with King Hezekiah. Then I looked at 1 Samuel chapter 17 with David and Goliath. Oh man, and I'll be preaching on that tonight about the Christian warfare, the battlefield for the Christian. But I just want to mention this briefly to you this morning. Think about David and the army of Israel. Every day, for 40 days, that big giant came out. I want to challenge you! Come on, son of a man, I'm going to challenge you! For 40 days, they shook in their socks. For 40 days, they didn't think there was a deliverer for Israel. Are you still with me, church? How many are still with me? And then here comes this little shepherd boy, little ruddy little kid named David, probably just a young kid. We believe he's less than 20 years old, probably around 17. We don't know exactly. We know he's young. I know he was the least of the sons of Jesse. Isn't it amazing? The least, but God made, you know, little is much when God's in it. You say, I don't got too much to give to God. Why don't you just give what you got and let's see what God does with it? A lot of times, Brother Carl, I think people say, well, man, I can't do, I've got no talent. I've got nothing to give towards God. I got, you know, listen, you just Give God what you got. You'd be surprised what God can do. There's a song. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can earn it. If you go or win it, if you go in Jesus' name. I'm going to tell you, God's looking for those who will just say, God, here I am. Ain't got much, but what I got, I'm going to give to you. You'd be surprised with that kind of attitude and that kind of heart and that kind of willingness, what God will do with a man or a lady. Amen? Yeah. But can you imagine? Here's little David. Picks up 5 stones because, see, Marlena, Goliath had 4 sons there, and they were all giants too. They took after their daddy. One of them had 6 fingers on his hand. 6 toes too. Can you imagine buying a shoe for that guy back then? They'd have got some extra money, wouldn't they? I don't know if J.C. Penney makes them that big. Anyways, or Tom McCann or whatever name of the shoes you get them. Notice, he goes out and he throws that stone and pops that guy right in the head. Boom. Knocks him out. And David runs up there, grabs that big sword. That sword was probably, I believe that sword was probably, we'll find out when we get to heaven. That sword was probably almost as big as David. But I like what David did. He grabbed that sword off of that giant. He went, whoosh! He cut his head off. Rolled it around. Rolled like a marble. Amen. Gotcha. See, unless you cut those problems, I don't preach, that's tonight. Anyways, there's a truth behind it, okay? And I'll tell you tonight. When you're facing a problem, you want to make sure you face it head on and you want to extinguish it so it can't come back again. But can you imagine, stay with me, can you imagine the joy? Can you imagine the joy of David? David was really happy because if you really study this, David was some of the stuff behind David was you're going to get a reward plus you're going to get the king's daughter. I don't know if you caught that when you studied this. He said, tell me again. 2 times this. Hey, tell me what the guy gets for killing that giant. He was for the Lord too, but there were some other things behind there too. It's amazing what people do for a girl. But can you imagine the joy of all Israel? Stay with me. Can you imagine? The Philistines fled. And boy, Lizzie, they had victory in the camp. Can you imagine how much joy? I'm hoping. Think with me. How much joy was in that camp? How many think there was a lot of joy? There was singing and celebration and jubilee. Oh, yet that still wasn't joy unspeakable because soon after that, their hearts were saddened. I saw the Detroit Tigers win last night. They beat the New York Yankees, the greatest team that ever played baseball in the history of baseball. Mickey Mantle played for them, and Babe Ruth, and DiMaggio, and things like that. But anyways, they were winners. But they were losers this year, weren't they? And I'll be rooting for the Tigers. I grew up in Toledo. It was only 60 miles from Toledo. And I'd like to see the American League win it, amen. And so, I didn't watch the game. I just saw a couple innings maybe the last inning or so. But did anybody see the game? No, nobody. Okay, a few of you. Okay. And did you see the celebration afterwards? I've never seen anybody celebrate like that. I wish you would have saw it. After the game was over, the crowd wouldn't leave. And they were just screaming and yelling. And the ball players started coming out and running down and shaking people's hands. And they were going by, hit my hand, hit. And that's, I mean, they were going, the one pitcher, he climbed up on top of the dugout, and they were throwing champagne when they had those bottles, and man, they were squirting people, and man, they were going wild. And I thought, boy, those people are happy. Boy, we get someone saved, they get their soul saved from hell, and we don't even say a holy amen. This thing here, what I got amazing at, Carl, you would think that they won the World Series. It was only the first, don't they have a couple other things that they got to go through? They got to play with Kansas City or somebody? Then they go to the regular World Series? This was only the first step. You would have thought that team won the World Series. And I'll tell you one thing, if they got to play tomorrow, they're never going to make it. They're definitely going to lose that game. But what I want you to see was this. And I hope they win. I really do. I told Brother David, I'd like to see, it's been a long time since that team's won. And, but I believe they, I don't think they, I hope they win, but I doubt they do. But there'll probably be, that joy, what I want to get to you is this, it's short-lived. It's short. The best joy they had there, I'll guarantee you some of those people that were so excited and jubilant last night are maybe saddened and depressed today because of some other situation that came in their life. How many are with me? Yet, that joy last night was outstanding for them, but it wasn't joy unspeakable. Can anyone say amen? Listen, there's all kinds of joy. I'm going to try to close this up and give you one truth and an illustration. There are all kinds of joy that comes to our life. Joy comes in different ways. It comes at different times in our lives. But it never lasts forever. Joy in this life, any kind of joy that you have in this life, it's short-lived. It never lasts forever. The joy is not the joy of unspeakable and full of glory that we have now. The question comes, preacher, when will we experience that joy unspeakable and full of glory? I'm glad you asked me that question. I preached the whole thing so I could just answer that one question. The Apostle Paul, you know what? The Apostle Paul had kind of a glimpse of joy unspeakable. Look real quickly with me. Real quickly, look at 2 Corinthians 12. I like to show the scriptures. I'm a preacher that likes to show you a lot of word. It's the word of God that does things for people. I want you grounded and settled in the word. 2 Corinthians 12:1, it's not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come again in visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above. That word's not about, it's above. And it's above because he was out of his body. And we think that if you put a notation there, Acts 14:19, it's when they stoned him and drug him out of the city there in Acts 14:19. We think this is when this happened to him, when they thought he was dead. Ever hear of out of body experience? That's what Paul had here. I knew a man above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one's caught up in the third heaven. Three heavens. Heavens, there's first heavens where the birds fly. Second heaven where the stars are. Third heavens where God abides. Amen. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of body, I cannot tell. God knows. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. He said, I can't utter the words to describe to you what I saw. Isn't that amazing? How many are still with me? Paul said, heaven was so great, I cannot put it in words. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this, I had not seen, eareth not heareth, and nothing's entered the heart that meant that God had prepared for them that love him. I'm going to tell you, 1 Corinthians 2:9. Christians, you are going to go to a place so spectacular, it's beyond our hopes. Brian, as much as I try to show you how great heaven is, I can't do it. I want to open the door on this earth so you can see the brilliance of heaven, but it's so great, I can't get you that close to it. I have not seen, ear, not heart, which God prepared for them that love Him. Heaven's beyond our imagination. Heaven's so great, so phenomenal, so spectacular, so super fragilistic. How's those kids you say? Super fragilistic, caldocious, whatever, blah, 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 how the kids used to do it. It's beyond that, man. Dun, 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 dun. It's one of them. It's Greek to me, Hebrew, but Hebrew, listen, I thought that was pretty good too. Didn't have that. Heaven's beyond our hopes. Heaven's beyond our dreams. Heaven's beyond our ideas. Heaven's beyond our imaginations. Heaven is so far beyond our minds to even comprehend the greatness of it. God's word teaches heaven is beyond our description. Heaven's beyond our imagination. Heaven's beyond our explanation. Can anyone say amen? Heaven's beyond human words of utterance. We get excited about things in this world, but I'm going to tell you, heaven's so far beyond that, we won't even be able to speak when we get there. We'll be so overwhelmed with it. Luke 10:20 says, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. We get all excited about things on earth. We ought to be more excited about the heaven that we're going to. I got to read this scripture. I was reading it yesterday. Micah. I just love the scripture. Micah chapter 7 verse 18 and 19. Who is a God like unto thee that pardons his iniquity, passionate by the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in his mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And wilt thou cast all, he'll cast all their sins in the depths of the sea. I'm going to a place, oh, I'm just no wretched sinner now. Man, I snore and everything else. But man, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be perfect. How many are still with me? Oh, he says he cast all our sins in the depths of the sea. And he put a sign out there, no fishing. The devil can't bring it up again. Amen? That's the place we're going. Amen? Look at this last scripture and we'll go home. Look at Revelation chapter 20, 21. Oh, I'll tell you. By the way, 1 John 3 says, beloved, it doesn't appear what we'll be, but when Jesus appears, I'm going to quote it to you. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1. Then I'm going to go to Revelation. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon. We can't even comprehend the love that God's given us. We owe love of God. How great, how free, how marvelous. I'm going to tell you, we can't describe and comprehend and actually obtain how great a love God's got for us. Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us. In other words, Brian, He's given us a gift so beyond our imagination. We can't appreciate all that what God's given to us. It's beyond that. That we should be called the sons of God. I'd rather be a son of God than a child of the devil. Amen? Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, and He is, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. We'll see Him as He is. Hallelujah. And every man that hath this hope, and I do, by the way, purify himself even as he's pure. Brother Tommy, one day we're going to see the King of Kings. And these old bodies that are broken down, He's going to give us brand new bodies, glorified bodies. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to see the Jesus that we talked about and prayed to and looked to and had faith for. And one day we're going to see Him with our eyes face to face. Isn't that exciting? Oh, my. Last scripture. I'm going to get you out by 12. Amen? Doing good, preacher. Robbie prayed, please, preacher, I'm exhausted from the trip. Get me out of here. Super church. Look at Revelation 21. Now I'm going to show you unspeakable joy and full of glory. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Hallelujah. Now look up here, folks. You got to get this. Get this time frame. Just give me five more minutes here and I'm done. This is the whole message right here. Even when Jesus takes us up in the rapture, we're going to get a glorified body. We'll be up there 7 years with him. Tribulation's for 7 years down on this earth. We're coming back after that tribulation in what we call the revelation. People say Armageddon. And Christ's going to set up a new kingdom here for the millennium, 1,000 years. But Ravenna's still going to be here, D. The earth, this old earth for the kingdom age, Eddie, Wyndham's still going to be there. You'll probably be the mayor. He probably will. Eddie and Lizzie's giving their heart and life for Wyndham. I always call him, he's Wyndham's preacher. They've given their heart for those people. He'll probably have Eddie and Liz run over the mayor and Mrs. Mayor, amen? But the two mayors, are you with me? Anyways, as long as Lizzie says it's all right for you to be mayor, okay, Eddie? Anyways, kidding, just having fun with you. But remember, down on this earth, Brother Coolidge, for that millennium, there's still going to be some problems. Not like it is now. But there's going to be some problems, and people are going to die. And sin will still be in the world. It's not all going to be abandoned till at the end of the millennium, at the great white throne judgment. Are you with me? Because see, remember, Satan's going to get loose for a short season during that millennium. Kingdom age? I'm going to tell you. It's going to be great, way better than now, but it's not going to be perfect. There's going to be lost people. Because at the end, if you study your Bible in Revelation 20, there's people who go up against Christ at the end of that. They follow Satan. How many are still with me? We won't. We'll be in glorified bodies. But there'll be people born during the millennium, and they are going to, some of those people will not be saved. Are you still with me? Now watch. But that millennium ends, and God's going to burn this earth up. He's going to purge everything. The heaven and the earth, it's all going to be purged from the sin. Satan's going to be put in the lake of fire. The false prophet, the beast, all of them are going to be put, every lost person will be thrown in the lake of fire. That's in Revelation 20, verse 15 and verse 10. Are you with me? Now watch. 21:1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. You ain't seen this yet. Coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. Are you with me? We're going to be in a paradise that has no sin and no curse and no devil. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. And look at verse 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. By the way, this is a new heaven, new earth, but we're still crying back in the millennium. Are you with me? How many are with the preacher yet? And there shall be no more death, but there is back in the millennium. And we've been there 1,000 years with Jesus. Neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Hallelujah! It's over! And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new, O my lands. New beyond our description and imagination and capabilities of even understanding how new it's going to be, how wonderful. And he said unto me, write for these things, these words are what? True and faithful. You can take it to the bank. It's going to happen. Abraham and Sarah, you're going to have a baby. You can take it to the bank. These are the same way. You can take Noah, there's going to be a flood. You're going to take it to the bank. Never rained before the flood. But when God says something, you can always take it to the bank. It's going to be true. How many are still with the preacher? Drop down to verse 10. Oh boy. He carried me away. This is why I want Eddie to sing that song. He carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain. And he showed me that great city, holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Having the glory of God, and the light was like unto a stone most precious, even like jasper stone and clear as crystal. I can't read all the verses. Look at verse 18. And the building of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. Look at verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl, and the streets of the city was pure gold as it was transparent glass. Look at 22 and 23. I saw no temple therein. The Lord Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need for sun, neither the moon to shine, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. How many see that? Look at 22:1. He showed me a pure river. By the way, look at of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Look at, go back to 21:27. And there shall no wise enter anything that defiled, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Are you still with me? Now watch this. Verse 10, Annie, he carried me away and he showed me the great city. Oh man. Let me give you this. This is what wet my heart yesterday, Eddie. Come here, Eddie and Lizzie. Come here, child of God, faithful servants of God. Come here. I want to act like that angel, okay? Don't ask Rosie, though. She'll tell you I'm lying. We're talking about joy unspeakable, and I'm this close to getting done, but you got to see this. I'm gonna try to describe it to you. The best way I could show you in a physical. Illustrations. One, our little Mary, by the way, she'll be 93 in January 18th. She'll be 93 years old. But I've seen little Mary. And little Mary's so appreciative to anything. Jimmy, you give her a little thing from Walmart, she'll act like you gave her $1 million because she's so precious. They've only made one Mary Reinhardt in the world. They'll never duplicate our little Mary ever. She's so precious. And you give her a little item, little knick-knack, and Mary will just go, and she'll be so overwhelmed. She'll go, oh, so much joy. She can't say no, but she, oh. When you go to heaven, come up with me. I'm going to take you through. I want you to see heaven. By the way, look at the streets of gold. Isn't it wonderful? And Eddie, come on with Lindsay. Do you see the gates? They're all pearl. You see that? Look at the different colors. And oh, there's Lou Griffey. There's Lou. Hi, Lou. And by the way, you never got to meet, but here's Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Are you with me? And let me show you some of the mansions. And let me show you New Jerusalem. And by the way, all the time, Brother Mike, you're going to be going, oh, Diane, we're going to be so caught up with the splendor. It's going to be so much joy. We're not going to be able to say a word, Marty, because when you get there, you're in eternity. You're in eternity, perfect bliss. We're never going to die. We're never going to get sick. We're never going to know sin. We're never going to know heartache. We're in a place of perfect paradise for eternity. The joy, Lou Griffey, is going to be so wonderful. It's going to be unspeakable and full of glory. And I'm going to just say, why don't you folks just walk all through this? I'll tell you what. Just take a tour. I'll come back in about 10,000 years and see if you like to stay for a little bit longer. Heaven's going to be so wonderful. And the greatest thing, I love how Eddie gets so excited at the end. Oh, it's going to be great to see the beauty of heaven and all those beautiful stones. And by the way, God knew, that's why you girls love diamonds and rubies. And you ever wonder why girls like that so much? Heaven's loaded with it. It's a woman's paradise. And West Virginia, don't worry about shoes. You can walk on that gold all day long. Streets of gold. Full of glory. Amen. And then, as you go through the city, and he says in verse 23, I want to see Jesus. I just want to see Jesus. It's going to be so much joy. Oh, we're all seeing before that. But in the eternity, Eddie, he'll never be gone from us ever. And Jeannie, all our kids will be with us. They'll never be gone forever again. Oh, the joy, the splendor, and the glory. That's when you're going to see and experience joy unspeakable and full of glory. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the great promise. And the promises of God are sure. One day, we're going to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Right now, we have a lot of heartaches and hardships and death and sorrow and agony and trials and tribulations and all kinds of setbacks. One day, Lord, we're going to have a place. It's so great. When we first enter it, we're going to be speechless. It's beyond mortal tongue. It's beyond mortal utterance. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, before we go home, if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you don't have that promise of joy unspeakable, full of glory. Only those who are saved and born again have trusted Christ as their Savior have got that promise. Well, preacher, what does a lost person have a promise for? They have a promise of eternal separation from God, a place called hell, where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth, just like we're going to live for eternity and enjoy of unspeakable and full. They're going to live in punishment and torture, sorrow untold. How many could say, Pastor, I know for sure I trusted Christ as my Savior. I know if I died, go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Thank you. May put them down. How many would say, Pastor, I'll be honest with you. I'm really not sure. I'm really not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die and go to hell, preacher. I don't want to miss out on joy unspeakable, full of glory. Would you pray for me? I'd really like to know when I lay my head down that I'd go to heaven. You say, preacher, can a person, the Bible says yes. These things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. People say, well, no one can know. Yes, you can know. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's not talking about just praying for food or God give me this. It's talking about when you saw yourself a lost sinner and you need your soul saved and you've asked Christ to be your Savior. That's what that word's talking about. For whosoever, that means anyone can come unto Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've never asked God to come in your heart and save your soul, He wants to do it right now. And right now, while your heart's prepared, now's the time. How many would say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I really don't know if I'd die, if I'd go to heaven. And I'd sure like to know. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you, I promise. But I will pray for you. Who would say that? Pray for me. Just raise your hand, put it back down. Pray for me, preacher. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I'd sure like to know. I don't want to miss out on that joy unspeakable. How many say that? Pray for me. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart that you'll help us today. If there be any here that doesn't know you, oh God, I pray with all my heart that they'd come to know Christ today, that they won't miss out that joy unspeakable and full of glory. And Lord, I pray for Christians. No doubt a lot of them may be discouraged, disheartened, maybe even depressed. Pray that you help them. Let them get a little glimpse of this full of glory, joy unspeakable. Oh God, let them see that they've got joy unspeakable coming in the near future. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand.